David Bach is the author of 7 consecutive bestsellers, including 2 consecutive number one New York Times bestsellers, Start Late, Finish Rich, The Automatic Millionaire, and his latest bestseller, Go Green, Live Rich. In all, his Finish Rich books have been published in more than 15 languages with more than 7 million copies in print worldwide. He is regularly featured on television and radio, as well as newspapers and magazines, including Success, and has been the host of his own PBS special called Smart Women Finish Rich. David, it's a pleasure to have you here today.
It is a pleasure to be with you. I love your magazine, and it's always fun to do interviews like this. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And so let's start by talking a little bit about what Americans are facing right now. The country, it's obviously in tight times. In your book, Automatic Millionaire, you offer some great strategies for living well and finishing rich. Can you give us some of those tips on how we can secure our financial futures?
Absolutely. Well, first, let me just say, you're right. We are going through tough times right now. Our economy is ultimately fueled by confidence. So what happens when you go through a bad economy like this and you hear that the times are getting bad and you hear about the layoffs, we know that there's record foreclosures out there in homes. And so when you hear this negative news, what many people do is they take the national news, and in this case, really the global news, and they bring it home with them and they turn it into their own personal reality.
Right.
And I think what's so important to say right now today is what's happening in the world globally and in the world in the U.S. doesn't have to be your reality at home. So when you talk about a book like The Automatic Millionaire, there are simple things that you can do today to change your life financially forever. Forever. And there's only a handful of things you have to do, and it's irrelevant what the economy is doing. So here's the single most important thing I can tell anybody who's listening right now. Whether the economy is strong, average, or poor, like it may be today, you have to do one simple thing, and it is this. There's 3 words. You have to pay yourself first. This has been a mantra that I have gone out and inspired millions of people around the world for a decade on this simple idea that when you get paid, the first person who keeps your paycheck is you. Before you go and pay your mortgage, your credit card bills, your utility bills, you have to make the decision that the first person who gets paid is you. And the way you do that is really simple. You have to take money right off the top. I recommend 1 hour a day of people's incomes. I know you have a lot of entrepreneurs here. So the entrepreneur factor means you take at least 10% of your gross income, you take it right off the top, and it has to go into tax-deductible retirement accounts because that is the only legal way to get out of paying taxes.
Yeah, that's great. And I so believe in what you're talking about is, you know, the news, you're bringing it home and you're manifesting it, you're recreating it. And another reason why we created Success Magazine, so you can get the positive things that are happening in the world and the ideas that will inspire you rather than maybe debilitate you with some of the sensational news headlines that are happening today.
That is why Success Magazine is so important, because what happens when you watch the news and read the paper and go online is that 95% of what you're hearing out there is negative. So when you have a magazine like Success Magazine, you're fueling yourself with positive energy and positive ideas. That's why I've been a fan of your magazine for years.
I appreciate that. So getting back to how somebody can determine whether they are going to be a millionaire or not, you have 5 simple questions for determining if someone will be a millionaire. What are they?
All right. Well, they are simple. In fact, you can actually go through them in 3 minutes. What I always tell people is you can determine really in less than 3 minutes with almost 90% accuracy if someone's going to be wealthy. So, you know, by the way, if you're single and you're out dating, you could just bring these questions with you to your first date and just go right through them in 3 minutes.
They'll love that.
So, but here's what they are. And I'll do it probably maybe it'll take more than 3 minutes. But the first question is, do you want to be rich? I've done speeches in front of literally over 1 million people in the last 5 years, and I start with this question. And everybody yells, yeah, I want to be rich. And then I always say, but that's not really the question. The question behind the question is why? Why do you want to be wealthy? The thing that most people think about money, they think about stuff. They think about the big house, the new car, the pretty girl. But it's really not about stuff. So what I teach people, and I've done 8 books on this, is to look at your values first, meaning strip away the stuff for a second. Why do you really want to be wealthy? It has to be more important than just a house or a car. It needs to be about things that are bigger than you. And that's your values, your family, your community, the things you deeply care about. Because at the end of the day, what I've seen firsthand is that stuff is not enough to motivate people long term to overcome all the obstacles that it can often take to be wealthy. But if you have a higher purpose and you combine that with your desire to be rich, you can become unstoppable.
That's great.
So that's question number one. Question number two is, do you pay yourself first, which we just talked about. But when I talk about do you pay yourself first, the question I always ask people is, okay, you say you pay yourself first, but let's find this out. Do you do it automatically? Because unless you save money automatically, meaning that you don't touch it, you don't write checks, you don't have discipline, unless that money is moved automatically from your paycheck or from your bank account when you deposit money into another account to save that you don't touch, that's basically your basket to grow your assets. Unless you're making that transaction automatically, realistically, you will not be wealthy. I spent almost 10 years at Morgan Stanley. I was a senior vice president there. I was a partner of the Bach Group. We managed $500 million for individual clients. Over 100 of our clients were self-made millionaires. They all did it with one simple thing. They paid themselves first and they saved money automatically. So that's really question number two.
You know, David, one of the things that somebody taught me in one of these interviews a couple issues back was you could set up an electronic payment system so that when you, every month, you deposit your paycheck, you deposit your income, automatically 10% is sent into a savings account without you having to touch it or think about it. You know, it's all done electronically, which I thought was a great idea and something I've implemented since.
That is what you just said. That is the Automatic Millionaire book. That's what it's all about, that you automate every aspect of your financial life, that you literally go to the bank or your brokerage firm and set it up so it automatically moves that money for you every time you get paid. And question number three, and I've kind of become internationally renowned for this phrase, but question number three is, do you know what your latte factor is? Now, the latte factor is a metaphor I created all the way back in the early 90s, right when Starbucks was getting going. And it is a metaphor about looking at how we spend small amounts of money on little things, like a cup of coffee. Now, I'm in New York today where we're recording this. And you go to Starbucks, you will spend over $5 a day on a latte. So, you know, $5 a day is $150 a month, and that's almost $2,000 a year. And it's really easy to do that every day on nothing. Cigarettes now are $10 a pack in Manhattan. So, you know, there are millions of people who buy a pack of cigarettes a day. What's your latte factor? Because what people always say to me is, David, I don't have the money to save. I don't have the money to invest. I'm living paycheck to paycheck. And what we see is that it doesn't really matter what someone earns, because typically as people earn more money, they simply spend more money. So the latte factor is a metaphor to get people to stop what they're doing and look at where you really spend money every day on some little things that maybe you can cut out. Now, I've done speeches for high net worth individuals. I recently did an event for one of the largest investment banking firms, and the average woman in the room had $10 million in cash in their account. And so I remember saying, they said, well, don't talk about your latte factor at this event. I said, trust me, they all have latte factors. It's just different. So I said, so yeah. Some of you have five homes, and you haven't visited three of them this year. And some of you have your own jet that you own, but you barely use it when you could just as easily have NetJets. And as I went through all their latte factors, they were cracking up, because everyone has a latte factor. It's just different for all of us based on our income. So it's looking at that. And that takes me to question number four. And question number four is, do you own real estate? Now, we're going through one of the most difficult real estate markets in probably 30 years. But here's the truth about owning real estate in America. Millionaires own real estate.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at who has the most wealth in America, it's people who own real estate. When you look at homeowners, a homeowner today, on average, is worth over 40 times more than a renter. So when you want to look at what's the single biggest determinant of whether someone is wealthy in America or not, it is whether they own a home or they own real estate or they rent. And what I can tell you is, if you're listening to this right now and you're a renter, unless you make the decision to own real estate, the likelihood that you will ever be rich or financially secure is slim, because it's real estate that truly builds the most amount of wealth long term. So whether you're buying a small building or a commercial condo, or you're even just buying a home and running your business out of that home, What will happen is over the next 10 to 15 years as you run your business will pay off the real estate. And you'll own that real estate, and that real estate will be worth maybe millions. And it will probably be worth more than your business. And if you own the real estate separate in an LLC and your business rents from it, someday when you sell the business, you'll still own the real estate and you can even force the buyer of your business to lease back from you. So what I've seen firsthand is when you look at my clients that became the wealthiest who own their own business, it happened by accident. And the accident was at some point early in the process of owning their business, they simply made the decision to buy a building. Or they bought a bunch of land and put a building on it. And then 10, 15 years later, the building's worth millions and millions of dollars, and they can retire off the real estate. The business is, in fact, worth nothing. Many businesses at the end of a career of a business are not saleable. But the real estate, always worth something. And the last question is, do you give back? And that one always stumps people. Like, wow, why would he talk about giving back? Well, because the answer is this. We know that the greatest way to build wealth and live longer is to be somebody who gives back.
Right.
That when you tithe, when you give a percentage of your income back to make a difference in the world, your wealth will grow and your health will improve. So it's almost like the magic pill that giving back creates a richer life for you in all aspects. And that's why I always end my books now on giving back, and I always end my speeches on giving back.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So, David, are there any other mistakes that you see people making in regards to spending?
Well, here's the great truth about spending. Most of us don't know what we spend. And we really just have a vague idea of what it costs to even run our business or run our personal finances. So I think the most important thing you can do when it comes to your money is know where the money goes. I created an online program. It's called, people can go to automaticmoneymanager.com, and they can try this for 30 days. It's free, and then it's a paid subscription service. What this service does is it tracks where you spend your money every day automatically so that you can put in your bank accounts and your checking accounts and your ATM accounts, and it will pull together everywhere that you spend money. And you can see it literally by the minute what it's all adding up to. What this does for people is it changes the way they spend money, because we spend money unconsciously. But once we see where it's going, that inspires us to make changes. So really, that is where you should start as an individual, is really knowing where your money goes. And as a business, really knowing what is it costing you to run your business. And, you know, a lot of business owners don't hold their accounting people and their bookkeeping people accountable to that level. But that's the level as a business owner you need to be at. Because when you know to the penny what you're spending, you have a better control system on your money. And then you can also look at where is money being wasted.
That's great. All right. Now, let's talk a little bit about your book. So, you know, there are a lot of misnomers about global warming and living eco-friendly lifestyles. And one of them is that you have to be rich. It's only the rich that find ways to be able to spend the money to live this green lifestyle. Can you help debunk the myth that you have to be rich to live green?
I can absolutely debunk the myth. And I will tell you this. First of all, things have changed, okay? So I care about the cost of things as much as anybody. I just do. I don't like to spend more money for things if I don't have to. So I wouldn't buy a CFL light bulb 5 years ago because the CFL light bulbs were five times more expensive. Well, today they're the same price, but they last 10 times longer. You know, I wouldn't pay 30% more for a cleaning supply product because it was green 3 years ago. But today, first of all, I actually would. But today, the price of that product is the same or less. Because what's happened is consumers demand these products. As more people demand them, more companies produce them. As more companies produce them, the prices come down. So what's really happening today is that the little additional cost that it may be to start to do things greener, you will make the money back within 24 months. And then as you get into the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth year, you're now saving a fortune. So many examples, like appliances in your home. If you have appliances that are not Energy Star appliances, and you go and make the investment to replace them with Energy Star appliances, you'll cut your utility bills, it's estimated, sometimes by a third by having a home with Energy Star appliances in them and making your home more energy efficient. So the great truth is this. The average person who has an income of about $50,000 a year can save $3,000 to $5,000 a year by going green. And when you take that savings and you invest it, that's how you become what I call a green millionaire. Because I think what you can do today is find so many ways to protect the earth, be healthier, and the savings you'll have will actually help you make your first million.
Wow, some great financial tips, David. So let's learn a little bit more about you personally. You obviously have quite a busy life right now between promoting the book, speaking engagements, other obligations. How do you keep it all balanced with your work life and your personal life?
The ultimate question, how do you balance everything?
Yeah.
Well, I think the first thing is that I know to tell the truth, which is that balance is extremely difficult. And if you show me someone who's successful, and I will show you somebody that typically what they do well, and I think I'm one of these people, is that whatever they do, they are fully engaged. I think so much of being successful is being present wherever you are when you're there. Now, I will tell you, I've always worked extremely hard. I have an enormous level of energy, as you may be able to tell. But I do things to have that energy level. I work out every single day. So I either run or go to the gym with a trainer. I'm 41. I'm in the best physical shape of my life. So I do things to nurture my body as best I can. That doesn't mean I don't have stress. I have enormous stress in my life. But I try to take as best care of my health as possible so I have the energy level. I also schedule into my life free time and vacations. The truth is this. We've all got 24 hours a day. Those of us that have the most success tend to figure out how to use those hours to the fullest. And I think the one thing that I've done, you know, I'm 41, I've done 10 books in 10 years. I've traveled millions of miles. I've spoken in front of millions of people. And it's not easy. I think whenever you meet somebody who is really successful, if they're honest with you, people always go, oh, I got lucky. You know, you always hear people say, oh, I got lucky. But the truth is that hard work creates a lot of luck. And the thing I know, when I look at my wealthiest, most successful, and honestly happiest friends, they bust their tail every single day. And I think one of the great myths out there is that, you know, sometimes you just need a little luck. I think the harder you work, the luckier you get.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I love that. So now you're obviously a successful entrepreneur, but I have to ask, was there ever a time when you thought you wouldn't be an automatic millionaire? Were there failures along the way?
Every single day. I mean, if you talk to an entrepreneur and he tells you that he hasn't had failures and days of darkness, he's an absolute or she's an absolute liar. The truth is that we usually have more dark days than good days. But those good days, when the dice rolls the seven that you're looking for, when the deal happens, when the book's a number one bestseller, when you end up on Oprah's stage, or maybe you're Oprah and you have the Oprah show, when the dream comes true, that's when you go, wow, it was all worth it. And then you go off and roll the dice again and have black days. And that's what juices us. So yeah, I've had lots and lots and lots of dark days. And the one thing that I did that may be different than a lot of entrepreneurs, I left a career where I was earning seven figures, okay? And I decided to start my own business with really almost no security that that going out and writing books would be a way to make a living. And truthfully, looking back on it, you know, that was pretty crazy. But it was what my heart wanted to do. And the one thing that I did, though, to help me make the transition was I saved money. So when I was at Morgan Stanley working really hard and started with nothing, I made a goal to get a certain amount of money set aside to have the freedom to take the risk. I didn't quit my day job until my other business was going. So Finish Rich Media was a $1 million company before I left Morgan Stanley. So it wasn't like I was just quitting something totally secure and going to the complete unknown. I do think that that's important. I think sometimes people leave one thing with no parachute. They have no backup plan. And I think you need backup plans. You know, as I look at this environment right now, I have friends who went bankrupt last week. He had a phenomenal business 3 years ago, but he could see the writing on the wall 3 years ago that his business was changing and that if he didn't change, he was in trouble. But he didn't change. And he is now 3 years later bankrupt. He had two beautiful homes and he has lost his long-term relationship, and he has lost all of his money. And, you know, think about it as like an analogy. Like, if I'm in a plane and there's two people in the plane, I want five parachutes. I want to be over freaking protected for plan B. And I think so often entrepreneurs don't have backup plans. So when, you know, I think when you look at what's the most important single asset that you have today as an entrepreneur, it is not your business. It is not your real estate. It is not your intellectual capital. It is your confidence. Entrepreneurism is all about confidence. If you lack confidence, you can't do anything. And so it's being clear on what is shaking your confidence and doing whatever you can do to protect your confidence. Because an entrepreneur with emotional confidence is unstoppable. We are all dreamers. At the end of the day, when you're an entrepreneur, you're a dreamer. You have something out there that you believe in and you go, you know what? I have this dream. And to get to that dream, you've got to keep your confidence. So, you know, I work on keeping my confidence through the dark days. It's not always easy, but it is always important. If you model the masters, you look at somebody who's been successful and you copy what they do, meaning, you know, how do they think? What's their strategy? How can you emulate them? You know, have a mentor. I think when you look at what other people have done and you want to do it too, if you model that, you can have enormous success. You don't have to start from scratch. The amazing thing about being an entrepreneur when you meet other successful entrepreneurs is that the one thing that you almost always take away from meeting somebody who's successful is that they're actually not that special. And what I mean by that is every day I meet entrepreneurs who are successful and I go, my God, that guy's, you know, he's not that impressive. I mean, how many times have you ever met a complete idiot? And they're wealthier than you. And you go, right, that guy's an idiot. How in the world did this idiot make all this money? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the beauty of that is knowing, God, if they did it, so can I. When I was a young kid, Tony Robbins was my mentor. I went to Tony's seminars. I then ended up speaking on stage with Tony Robbins at his seminars, which inspired me to go and write my book and get the same agent that he had. And I went to lots of seminars like Tony's because I wanted to be pumped full of successful ideas so I could live a successful life. If you look at my life today, I still go to programs. I'm still in a coaching program. I've been in a coaching program for 10 years. I have a personal business coach because I know that the way the best get better is they have the best around them to get better. And that is what Success Magazine does. It brings the best to you to be the best you can be.
Wow, David, really great information. I know I personally got a page of notes just from listening to you in this audio recording. So I very much appreciate your time and your sharing of great ideas and insights with us here today. Thank you for joining us, David.
It's always a pleasure.
Success Audio Series, copyright Success Media, all rights reserved.